The Warriors are set to face the San Antonio Spurs in the Western Conference Finals, and it's all beginning on Sunday afternoon at Oracle Arena in Game 1. And on this Friday afternoon at Warriors team headquarters, we heard from Kevin Durant and Coach Brown, and we start with KD.
I wasn't surprised, because they're a machine. You know, they just keep going at you no matter who's on the court. They don't run their system. Similar to us, I feel like, you know, where guy goes down, somebody steps in. And it's not mainly because, you know, they just gave Jonathan Simmons the ball and said, hey, go score for us. They ran a perfect offense against that defense. And Coach Pop put them in great positions to be successful and to use their strength. So I wasn't surprised that they won a series, but I was kind of surprised how the last game ended or how the last game went. But that's just the Spurs, man. They just, you know, that's why they got the utmost respect, because no matter who's on the court, they just keep coming at you.
Being that you played the Spurs a few times in your career in the playoffs, what are some takeaways you can, you know, head into this series with?
Nothing. You know?
Nothing.
You know who they are? I mean, it's not like I have an advantage or, you know, over the rest of my teammates. You know what the Spurs do. You know, they play great defense. They move the ball. They play together. They play for each other. And every time down, they play with passion and energy that you can't really see unless you're out there on the court. You know, it's kind of hard to see what they do and wonder why they're so good unless you're out on the court with them. So us as players, we got respect for them, but we know we have to come out there and be who we are and try to dictate the tempo. I know they're going to try to dictate it. That's why we both teams are where they are, because they dictate the tempo in both series. So we're going to have to, you know, try to fight against that, and we'll see what happens.
You think playing a team like Utah that muddies up the game, similar to San Antonio, kind of is going to help you out in the series?
I definitely think it helped. You know, I feel like Utah runs the same type of offense, different players, of course, but the same, you know, flow type of offense where they, you know, they pass and look for a great shot, and definitely test your defense and test your endurance on the defense side of the ball. And I think we did a solid job in that series, but that's over with. It's a new team, new personnel, new group of guys that we got to get ready for.
Things changed from that very first game of the season?
It seemed like years ago, to be honest. You know, I think both teams have gotten so much better. In the playoffs, you know, stuff happens. You know, Tony Parker went down, which was unfortunate, and guys had to step up. You know, we switched our lineups up a bit, our rotations up a bit. So both teams has gotten way better since then, and that game shouldn't even matter when it comes to, you know, on Sunday. But you know the personnel, you know who these guys are individually. It's just on us to go out there and execute the plan.
Is this just the right amount of rest? I mean, you guys get to get back out there Sunday. Are you glad that maybe that one didn't go game 7 so that you can get it rolling?
I mean, that type of stuff you have no control over, so you can't even worry about, you know, what happens. And, you know, we're all professionals here. We've all been in the league for multiple years, and guys have been on teams that have gone this far in the playoffs before, so you know how you take care of your body, how you're supposed to prepare. So, you know, obviously you want to play, but, you know, it's not like we're just super excited. We got 5-6 days of rest, but we know that, you know, it's important to get re-energized and mentally and physically, but at the same time, stay sharp.
You've mentioned having fun with that Kawhi matchup. How might it change at all with him having a tough ankle injury right now?
If he's a soldier, man. He's a fighter, and you know, if he's out there, he's not gonna make any excuses. And you know, if anybody's out there, I mean, I'm guessing they're full strength. So you know, I know he's gonna want to play. You know, just not even knowing him well, but just kind of knowing him as a basketball player, that he's gonna want to play. And you know, that's what all great players do. They fight through injuries, fight through bumps and bruises, and circumstances, and he'll be out there. It'll be fun to match up against him, but it's not me versus him. You know, it's a team thing, and I think, you know, we got a lot of guys to throw at him and make him and, you know, get him uncomfortable, but he is who he is. He does what he does, and it's going to be tough to stop, but, you know, we do it as a group.
Would you view the series as maybe a changing of the guards type of a series? You know, you see San Antonio, you know, with the Ginobili, Parker, and obviously Tim Duncan retired last season. You're on the downside of that era. You know, this team is very youthful and exuberant, and you guys are coming in as kind of like the young guys. Would you kind of view that as maybe as like a changing of the guard kind of a series?
No, I mean, you guys have so much time to think about those narratives, right?
Yeah.
We don't. we just play the game. We know what those guys do, whether it's Pau Gasol, Ginobili. We know how they impact the game. That's what we're focus on more than anything, and that's what you're here for, is to come up with stuff like that, which is definitely something that you'll think about, as a fan of the game and seeing it and watching the game for so long. But as players, we know what Ginobili can go out there and hurt us. We know Pau Gasol could come out, have a huge series, along with the rest of the veteran guys. So, we got to be prepared for that as well.
And here's what Coach Brown had to say about the series coming up against the Spurs.
I'm excited to get playing again. They're a good team. They're going to pose a huge challenge for us because, they just play so hard and they're so locked in for as close to 48 minutes that, they're more than a capable team.
Describe the relationship between you and Coach Pop.
I got a tremendous amount of respect for him, and obviously I work for him, but, he's done a lot for me in my personal life too, and so I look at him as more than just a guy that I worked for before or a mentor or anything like that. He's a close friend, a really close friend of mine.
The fact that you shadowed them last year, does that help you with your game planning at all?
I don't know. He's probably changing everything that he did last year to throw me off, but what does help more than anything else is David West, was with those guys last year, every day at every practice, every meeting, and so he's been really helpful. He was helpful for us in the last game we played out there, had a lot of input, and at the end of the day, with me being around most of them for the course of the year, I got a little bit of a feel for him, but it's a little bit different team too.
What did you learn that time, Mike, last year? I mean, you've coached a lot, and done a lot of great things, but were there new things that you picked up?
It's a lot of it has to do with I felt that I learned is not necessarily X's and O's. You can learn X's and O's from anybody, and Pop's a great X and O guy. And yes, I learned X's and O's, but what I was most interested in was, last time I was an assistant in San Antonio was 2003. That was the last time I was around him. And then 13 years later, I'm back. And so to see how he has evolved with today's player and how he coaches today's player was for me, a very interesting experience and a learning experience. Because I'm going to contradict myself because it's not the same, but he is the same. And so to see his evolution and how he handles a lot of the same stuff that we did back in the day, how he coaches or teaches it, how he communicates with players, how he runs his practices, and so on and so forth, was an eye-opening experience for me.
Mike, obviously Parker's a tough loss for them, but what do you think of Patty Mills, and what does he bring, sort of the challenges he presents?
He can shoot from range. The biggest thing that he does, he moves so well without the ball, so you can never relax on him. If he has the ball in his hands, you got to make sure you stay connected, because if you don't, he's knocking down a three. If he gives the ball up, if you take a breath, like, oh my gosh, he's like the Energizer Bunny Rabbit. I get to rest for a second. Next thing boom, he's taking off. He's relocating behind the three-point line, and it's another made three. So, that guy, his juice or his motor is second to none, in my opinion, in this league, and that poses a huge threat because of his ability to shoot the ball from range very well.
Seems like a pretty good fit for what they do, doesn't it?
Awesome fit. It's a great fit for him, but just importantly, it's a great fit for them. He is a great fit for them.
Mike, can you talk about the Spurs' extended stretch of dominance? It's been almost 20 years now that they've been a dominant team in the West. Can you talk about how that's happened, really?
If you think about it, there's been one common denominator. It's Greg Popovich and his leadership, his foresight, the foundation that he established there way back in the day is still in play, still in effect. And it'll be that way for sure the whole time he's there. And you got a guy like RC that has been there forever too, and you got some other guys that are part of that program. There's a good chance that they carry on after him too, after Pop leaves.
I think 21 offensive rebounds in that opener. Is that the first thing on the scouting report when you talk to your guys, is protect the glass?
Yeah, that's definitely one of them. And you know, and it's not just their bigs that rebound. I mean, their smalls do a terrific job. Patty Mills is sneaking there and get a rebound. Manu is sneaking there and get a big rebound. Obviously, you know, Kawhi is more than capable. So, you know, we emphasize to all our guys, we got to box out and limit them to one shot. You know, they're a team that knows how to control the pace or tempo of a game. You saw it against the Rockets. But yet they're an opportunistic fast break team. And one of the few ways that they do control tempo is by offensive rebounding. You know, they get 2-3 offensive rebounds in a possession, they're going to score one of those times. And so now, you know, you're down there forever, and then they score a bucket. So now you're taking the ball out the net. It's right up their alley. You know, it fits their personnel. It fits their bigs. And so we got to limit them to one shot because, you know, everybody knows what we want to do. We want to get out and run.
You mentioned pace. In game one, the Rockets were really successful in speeding them up and getting them moving. How much different is this, you know, battle for the pace than it was against the Utah Jazz?
I mean, for us, it's no different. We make or miss, we want to get out and go. And, you know, we feel like we play a lot of guys. We played a lot of guys the whole season. So, you know, none of our guys should be tired. You know, our guys should be excited about pushing the ball on every possession, and they should be more than capable of doing it because we play a lot of bodies. So hopefully we'll be able to push that pace even better than what we did against Utah. You know, San Antonio is a formidable opponent, and their defensive transition is really good, but it doesn't matter. We still want to try to force the tempo.
And you expect Pop to be doing the opposite of trying to, you know, muddy the game down a little
bit. He's going to try to find ways to control the tempo, yeah.
Do you expect to talk to Pop at all in the lead up to this, to game one?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I haven't said anything on my schedule to talk to him or anything like that.
Have you talked to him since he became acting head coach?
We talked a couple of times, yeah.
Mike, what impressed you most about what they did without Kawhi on the floor?
Well, just, you know, they didn't miss a beat. Now, obviously, he's their best player. He's an MVP of the NBA, but there was no, you know, sometimes when you're missing your quote-unquote best player, you could see, I don't know if fear is the right word, but you could see a little bit of maybe unsureness. I didn't feel that at all from the beginning. They were out there playing like they had Tony, Kawhi, Tim, and David. You know, they were just moving the ball, setting screens, cutting, passing, shooting, playing defense, talking, and they just methodically ripped Houston apart, you know, and that was impressive from the standpoint that, I mean, two of their top guns weren't even there. It's on the road, you know, it's a do-or-die situation for a team that you would think is, you know, is desperate in the Houston Rockets, and they did a phenomenal job.
All right, Spurs Warriors Western Conference Finals. It all begins on Sunday afternoon, Game 1 at Oracle Arena. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.